Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, where we are, you know, doing some last-minute preparations with our altar. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my delight to serve this forgiving congregation because I am a person who is imperfect. So I want to welcome every single person here. You are all so very, very welcome here with us today. No matter how you're feeling this morning, no matter if you're online or watching this recorded or here in the sanctuary, you are all welcome here today. You're welcome here whether you love change and find it exciting and invigorating, or whether you are like a cat in a collar being pulled along the ground for change, you are welcome here. Each of you is welcome because you are a beloved child of the universe. Today, I wanted to let you know masks are optional. As long as COVID rates are down, we're keeping our masks optional for people. And I wanted to let you know that the auction had a one-week additional run and has made about $900 more, and we almost met our goal for the flooring. We're at like $11,800 or something like that, very close to the $12,000. So that's good news, and our auction committee has worked tirelessly. So if you see any of them, please give them our gratitude. There is coffee hour after the service downstairs, and there's coffee hour online. I heard that the order of service might not have showed up online this morning, so I'm hoping that it has. It just came in. Excellent. So it's on your phones, and if you want to open that and then put your phone on airplane mode, that's great. If you don't have an order of service because you're visiting with us, you can get on our email list and have that order of service next week. There's also QR codes around that you can click on and get the announcements, or the announcements are in that email. The announcements are like 4 pages of amazing ways to get engaged with this community, and I really commend them to you. All right, let's take a moment and greet each other, and please greet somebody you've never met before. Stay risen. We are going to sing 1020, Woe Ya Ya. And it's in your hymnals, but it'll also be here on the screen, so you don't need your hymnals. Thank you. So we light the chalice this morning for the flame of life and love that is in each of us and never goes out, no matter how much change comes to our lives. Let us say our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous.
Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
We're off to a great start. Our opening words this morning, or what we call our call to worship, is titled Change Is by the Reverend Dr. David Breeden. It is the only constant in all that change is. It's the passing of things. It is the passing of all things, change is. It is the becoming of all. It is a parade, this change is. It is a dance, this change is. It is the river and the stepping that's never twice. It is the tragedy of all that was, this change is. It is the fear, too, of all that is, this change is. It is the hope of what may be yet, this constant, this change, this ice to water, this day to eternity. Come to the river. Step, step, step.
We will now have our time for all ages, and any children who want to come forward can sit in the front row. It's a recorded story today.
The Circles All Around Us, written by Brad Montague, illustrations by Brad and Christy Montague, published by Dial Books for Young Readers. We begin by drawing a circle on the ground along each shoe. A safe little place for just one person, nobody in the circle but you. You could keep that circle closed to everyone but yourself, but that would be like a library with just one book on the shelf. So let's draw a bigger circle for you and your family to share. Now you see what all can happen in a circle full of care. It becomes a happier circle as more loved ones come to stay. And wouldn't it be even better if all of your friends could come and play? So you stretch and draw your circle even bigger than it's been, and let a few more people know they're welcome to come in. In the circles all around us, everywhere that we all go, there's a difference we can make and a love we can all show. Yet there are still so many outside the circle who are different in all they do. Though it feels slightly uncomfortable, we draw a bigger circle for them too. It doesn't mean the circle is easy. It can get harder the more we share. But wonderful things can happen when love is known and felt everywhere. As time passes, our eyes open. we see others we really care for. And that's when we ask ourselves, well, what's the circle really there for? So let us create bigger circles all around us for the rest of our days. Let our caring ripple out in a million little ways. In the circles all around us, everywhere that we all go, there's a difference we can make and a love we can all show. As our circles grow and grow, and we watch them wonder-eyed, remember the first circle started with just the love you hold inside.
Sing our children out.
We hold you in our love as you go. Those of you who have been around WOOF for a while know that this is the way we have sung our children out to their religious exploration classes for years. It's a tradition. Our 60 plus years in this building together for the celebration of community that we call worship has created those traditions. Some we've kept, some we've discarded over time. And so it goes, the dance of change. During the pandemic, a life-changing experience for everyone, our community held each other in love differently. As we arranged our ways of being in the world and being in the world together. Now we're coming back, or maybe not coming back exactly, but we are here together, here again, here for each other, in a circle of gratitude and giving. Another tradition that has weathered the test of time is our offering. The time in our service when baskets are passed to gratefully receive whatever it is that you might have to give. Monetary support, yes, is always important. But just as much, the symbolic gift of your time or talent as your hands pass that basket. We are so grateful for all of it. Now, as the ushers come forward to get the baskets, let us speak together our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege.
Let us be grateful
for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
I gladly receive this offering for all the work that this congregation does, both within and without these out these walls, outside these walls. There is so much happiness in this world, goodness, love, and beauty grow within and all around us. Together here, we create a circle of celebration deep enough to hold all the joys of our lives. There is also so much pain in this world, so much suffering. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here, we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold the sorrows of our lives. This morning, I would like to have Salima light our special candles that are in front from our chalice. This first, I want to light a candle for Deneen Mitchell. She passed away on Tuesday, and we are sad for her loss and grateful for her life and so many gifts that she shared with this community. We will also light a candle for the Jewish people across the United States. It's anti-Semitism, I don't know, it's not a saying day for me, rises. And as we hold them, we remember everyone in our country who lives under the shadow of hate. And we light a final candle in hope that Tuesday and the following days will be peaceful and that democracy will prevail. We will now have a moment of silent reflection as the river flows. And when we begin to sing, please come forward as you are moved to do so and place a stone in the bowl of water. Our hymn this morning is one that is new to us. It is 10:13, and it will also be on the screen. And we're learning new songs for joys and sorrows these days. So this water is the community of compassion that bears all sorrows. And this water is the community of joy that shares all joy. So please come forward and place a stone in the wall after the river flows.
Our reading this morning is from the poet Joyce Sutphen, titled, Now That Anything Could Happen. You now know that anything could happen. Things that never happened before. Things that happened in movies and nightmares are happening now as if nothing could stop them. You know now that you are not safe. You know you live in fragile skin and bones, that even steel and concrete can melt away, and that the earth itself can become unhinged, shaken from its orbit around the sun. You know now that anything can happen. It's hard to know what will. And what will you do now that you know? What words will you say now that you could say anything? What hands will you hold? Whose heart will beat inside you?
We will now hear Times They Are A-Changing from Spencer Ehrman and Kim Transier.
It is probably going to be a very peculiar week for many of us. This is an old song. Many of you probably know it, so please sing. Come gather around people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming all your sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. critics who prophesy with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now, be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorways, don't block up the hall. For those who get hurt will be those who have stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you don't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend a hand. The times, they are a-changing. The line it is drawn and the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast. As the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing, for the times they are
a-changing. Times, they are a-changing. That is the truth, isn't it? The times, they are a-changing. That song is nearly 60 years old as woofers have been, as long as woofers have been gathering in this sanctuary. And it has marked many moments of change across the decades. Because change is always happening. Anything could happen, the poet says, like pandemic, like insurrection, like democracy crumbling, like divorce, like job loss. Anything could happen, the poet says, like people in the streets for Black Lives, like vaccines, like enough signatures to put gun control on the Oregon ballot, like hundreds of postcards from woofers asking voters to vote to support gun control and a person's right to health care. Like new life. Like falling in love. Like laughter. This month, our theme is change. And personally, I am not fond of change. I like habit. I like routine. I like comfort and certainty. I like coffee from the same coffee shop every week. I became a minister because I loved the predictability of Sunday services. Welcome, hymn, chalice lighting, story, music. I loved the reliability of liturgical year, water communion, honoring our dead, solstice, Christmas, Easter, flower communion, Memorial Day weekend family camp. These were constants that held me firmly in a spinning of an unpredictable life with growing children, changing relationships, illness, accidents, and all sorts of other surprises. I wanted to help create congregational life full of nurturing regularity and deepening relationships. It took me 8 years from the time I started seminary until I was ordained, and that included significant practical education. But it wasn't until a few years later, while serving a congregation, that the truth hit me hard. Ministry is about change. It is all about change. Ministry is about helping people through change, marking births of children, graduation, life commitments, divorces, illness, and death. Ministry is about helping people to change, heal from the wounds of life, and to transform us into our best selves, loving, open-hearted, generous, patient, kind, courageous, able to be who we truly, truly are. Ministry is about helping people to grow skills we'll encourage to change society so it is governed by our most cherished values, honoring the worth and dignity of every person and the interdependent web of life. When the truth hit me, I felt the Spirit laughing. She'd pulled me into ministry because I wanted certainty, and then, when it was entirely too late, allowing me to notice that I'd signed up for a life dealing day in and day out with some of my least favorite aspect of life, change. Ha ha. Of course, the truth is all life is change. We learn, we grow, we fall apart, we are surprised. We plan, we set ourselves on particular paths, and something else entirely happens. Upon reflection, I came to understand that the very predictability of a congregation's life is one of the tools that ministry as a whole uses to manage change. It is the beat of habits such as worship and ritual and spiritual and creative practice that reminds us of what really matters and holds us close and grounds us when anything that happens does. So what do you do when the thing that happens washes away all those habits and routines that you depended on to hold you? That is shattering. And that is what happened to us 2.5 years ago. That is what happened to everyone in the whole world. We are now crawling out of the deep pit caused by the calamitous moment. The majority of people have left their homes and have taken off their masks. COVID-related news is no longer on the front page every day. In the Portland area, metrics measuring COVID have been so low for months, I only check them every couple of weeks instead of every day or a few times a day. And we have made masks optional here, and most people are okay with that. But we haven't crawled all the way out yet. And I wonder if we ever will or can crawl all the way out. Will we ever feel at ease touching a stranger's hand? Will singing ever feel carefree for everyone? Will we ever stop feeling just a low grade of anxiety about new variants, new surges, new viruses? The moment when all the habits and routines that held our lives together shatters still lives within us. So do those moments when we thought it was nearly over and we hoped, and then suddenly the virus flared, jerking us back into our homes. So does all the fear and the grief. That was all trauma. And trauma typically settles somewhere inside us and sticks around. Usually it's in our bodies, but perhaps it is in our hearts, or in our minds, or in the way we conduct relationships. COVID changed us. COVID didn't only traumatize us, though. It changed the way that we all interact with one another. And some of that was actually positive. I know many families and friend groups that started meeting across a distance in a regular way that they'd never done before. We now stream and record services so that people who cannot easily come in person can join us virtually every week. We can have evening Zoom meetings so people don't have to drive at night or attend, or they can leave their children in bed and then attend a meeting. We have tools that really make us more inclusive than we once were. At the same time, interactions with others have lost a certain amount of ease. Much must be negotiated in any relationship that never was before. Will we wear masks together? Can we hug or touch? Will we meet in person or on Zoom? We may feel anxious stating our own needs if we feel that will be unpopular, or maybe we don't state them, and then we feel anxious about getting sick. Either way, it takes a lot more energy to be in social relationships than it once did. Once coming to services or serving on teams was part in our congregation was part of the natural flow of life, but now it may not be. And we are in the position of having to decide whether to come to church on Sundays in person or watch online or do something else, all which takes more energy than habit, which just brings us there without the energy of always having to make a decision. For many, commitments are harder to make, especially ones that are several weeks or months away. There's this sense that something could come up, or we might not feel like it, or something, and it buzzes inside us, unsettling us, making it harder to do that. COVID has changed us. Through COVID, we yearned for the return of the way it was before, when things would be normal, except, of course, it can't be, because COVID changed us. Last spring, UUA staff person Sharon Harper wrote a story that resonated deeply with me. Once upon a time, she wrote, we were a garden. Then a great flood suddenly came upon our land, and we watched as the water rose and covered our garden. Now the waters are receding. It's time to grieve the loss of our garden. Survey the land, heal, and prepare ourselves for replanting. This is the story of the pandemic, but it is also the story of Noah, a tale they believe is perhaps 7,000 years old. Rain flooding the land, some animals and plants saved, the rain stopping and the water receding, and the people planting again. I imagine we've been telling the story so long because in human lives and human history, this story is on repeat. What we counted on was washed away. We survived using everything we had. We grieved what was lost. We planted again. Now this ancient story is our story. Last August and last week, WOFF's Committee on Ministry, the team that attends to the health of WOFF's ministries, has hosted two sessions, very ably facilitated by our community minister, Leslie Becknell-Marks, where about 50 participants over the two sessions acted out and discussed the flood of the pandemic, how it affected WOFF, our grief at what was lost, and our hopes for replanting. We had so much fun before the flood. We had overflowing Sunday morning services with a thriving large choir, a multitude of voices, and so much singing. There was a women's retreat. There was family camp. Spontaneous in-person conversations led to creativity and engagement and a can-do attitude. We had a growing family ministry and religious education programs. We remembered that not all was perfect, though. We had struggles. There were not enough chairs in the sanctuary or parking places for everyone who joined us. Honestly, for my first years here before the pandemic, that's what we discussed at board meetings every time. So funny now. We had so few youth and young adults and people of color that often visitors did not see people who looked like them and did not feel welcome, even though we so wanted to welcome everyone. During the flood, WOOF was a lifeline. We were mighty. As the world shut down, we rallied. Within days, we had a recorded service on YouTube. Within a week, nearly everyone in the congregation could get on Zoom and use it and sometimes unmute themselves. We gave computers to those without them. Within weeks, we called everyone in the congregation, offering support, offering opportunities to be in small groups on a regular basis so they would not be alone. We held on to each other. We innovated with an online auction, received significant grant money, had remarkable AV and sound support so we could stream and record and have live services. So many people worked so, so hard to keep this congregation together. We matter, and that was clear in the commitment and devotion so many people showed. But there was also so much loss. We missed each other. Community doesn't necessarily mean friendship. And so if you weren't in a small group or on a team, people you'd seen every week, week in and week out for a long time, simply vanish from our lives. Zoom became harder to negotiate. It wore on us, as that is the only way we saw people. We didn't have that energy, that connection that we get in person. We lost beloved members to death, to moves, to falling away. Then, as we were emerging from the pit of COVID, we lost two beloved staff members. Those two groups who met, when surveyed about the presence, then after they thought about the grief and held the strength and the celebration, they began to think of the present and the possibilities of replanting. Celebration, they said. Gratitude. We survived. We are together. We want to connect meaningfully with each other and have fun together. We want music and experiences of the ways that we are interdependent with each other and all of life. We want innovation, new people, a range of ages, genders, races, and economic classes. We want our love to spill out and help a hurting world. We want to let go of fear. And people are showing up. We have about 50 to 70 people here in the sanctuary or downstairs each week. 15 people consistently watch our live stream, and about 20 watch our recorded services. One Saturday in September, 19 of us showed up to figure out how to infuse WOOF with more music. And I have to say, they've been doing a great job. And then 25 people showed up to think about privilege and how to use our privileges for the good of others. Families are gathering for meals and religious education classes are growing. WOOF is here. We still matter. We don't know all the ways that we've changed or what differences they will make in who WOOF is and how we manifest our mission to plant seeds of inspiration, grow in compassionate community, and bloom in service to the wider world. We are in a liminal space between, before, and after, checking out what grows easily, what died, and what must be nurtured. I do know that I have come through the commitment even more committed to the steady beat of religious life. And I feel the cringing inside some of you when I use the language religious. I know many of you don't believe our tradition is a religion, and even if we think it could be, the word itself can feel laden with all the ways that religions have used their power to control and to harm. Still, it feels like the right word to express the difference inside of me. When I think about what religious means to me, I go back to the Latin roots religiare, meaning to bind fast. Religion means to me to bind fast to what we find most worthy. For me, that means to bind fast to love and to what can transform me when I cannot transform myself. The pandemic and all the turmoil in our shared public life makes me want to bind more firmly to what is most worthy of my own life energy. And for me, that is love, the deep knowing and appreciation of and commitment to the interdependence of life and the way it manifests itself in each being. And I am a person who needs community, worship, spiritual and creative practices, conversation, poetry, theology, contemplation to keep me on track. And for me, that is what religion truly is. The communal practices that help us all live our commitments. And for me, my commitment to be a deeply loving person. As Karen Armstrong, a religious historian, says, religion is not about accepting 20 impossible propositions before breakfast. What about doing things that change you? It is a moral aesthetic, an ethical alchemy. If you believe and behave in a certain way, you will be transformed. And I believe that she is right. For me, the isolation of the pandemic, the loss, the fear, the hardship, made this foundationally clear. How much I needed the practices of my faith to stay who I was and wanted to be. And I think this is the thing. Big changes cause us to evaluate what matters and ask us to recreate how we live. And the knowledge that anything can happen, and probably will, deepens the need for us to know within us what matters most. The poet asks in this morning's reading, "You know, now that anything can happen, it's hard to know what will, and what will you do now that you know? What words will you say now that you can say anything? What hands will you hold? Whose heart will beat inside you?" These are the questions that Wolf must ask now and into the future. What will we do now that we know anything can happen? And in the times we know, they are a-changing. The climate, the political environment, all of those things are real change at our doorsteps. So now, what words will we say that we can say anything? Whose hands will we hold? Whose heart will beat inside us? What will hold us, firmly ground us through the turmoil of life and help us to bind fast to what we find most worthy of our life energy? What will we grow in our garden in this new emerging world after pandemic and insurrection? What methods will we use to grow it? One of the gifts of Unitarian Universalism is that we each choose what is most worthy of our attention and life energy. We also recognize that what is worthy
inside us might change. Once what was most worthy to me was my family and my own needs for exploration and engagement with life, which are still incredibly important to me. But as I have let myself go still and attend to life after so much tragedy and trauma, as I fear of more tragedies that Tuesday's election might bring, the new climate disasters, my desire to bind more closely to that greater love and the miracle of life has simply grown. I find myself pulled more toward kindness. I feel myself offering fires of warmth for the suffering, to welcome all who need comfort and care and reminders of their own worth and wonder. I want to grow all the circles of love around me, as we heard in this morning's story. These are the questions for now. What is most worthy of our life energy? What binds us to what is most worthy? What brings us alive and opens our hearts? What causes us to act, to sing, to dance, to laugh together, to love? So, as we wander the garden after the flood, we grieve for what is lost, examine new shoots. And we need to be and give ourselves time to be patient and still, so that we can notice what beats and hums and what speaks in our hearts, in our connected lives. Let it be so. We will now rise and sing 1024, When the Spirit Says Adieu. The words will be up there, but you don't really need them. So.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
How would the melody go if we're there? Okay. If we're in that key. Yeah, we could do that.
You got to do when the Spirit says do. You got to do when the Spirit says do. When the Spirit says do, you got to do, oh Lord. You got to do when the Spirit says do. 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 Spirit says do.
You got to
sing when the Spirit says sing. You got to sing when the Spirit says sing. When the Spirit says sing, you got to sing alone. You got to sing when the Spirit says sing.
Spirit says sing. Spirit says sing. Spirit says sing. Spirit says sing. Spirit says sing. Spirit says sing. Laugh when the Spirit says laugh.
You got to laugh when the Spirit says laugh.
When the Spirit says laugh, you got to laugh, oh Lord. You got to laugh when the Spirit says laugh.
Spirit says laugh, 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 Spirit says laugh. You got to do when the Spirit says do. You got to sing when the Spirit says do. You got to do when the Spirit says do.
When the Spirit says do, you got to do, oh, oh. You got to do when the Spirit says do.
To you, dear people, when the Spirit says do, do. Our benediction is from the poem For New Beginnings by John O'Donohue. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. I extinguish this flame, or Salima's fingers extinguishes this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith.